the extravagant love of God. If we embrace that and encounter that in our hearts and our lives, it changes everything. How we walk out this door, if we didn't believe it this morning when we arrived and we go out believing it, it's life-changing. Even if we believe it just a little bit more. Know it, encounter, experience it a little bit more. So I wanted to just play that, just to sort of start thinking about the words that we might use to try and understand the extravagant love of God, the way he loves us. And I'm going to speak for a few minutes now, and I wonder if the children, if they want to, can listen to what I'm saying, but at the same time, they might want to draw something, create something. Actually, anyone, if you want to go and draw something, I've got a board up here that says Love by God. If there's something that you've heard this morning, a word, maybe a picture in your mind that would just capture a little bit of what God's love means to you today, and you want to share it so we can create a bit of a collage, would you be brave and get up and walk across and put it on the board? Kids, are you going to create something for us? You're going to draw something about the love of God. What does that mean to you? Okay, maybe a picture that reflects something of the love of God. Clay. Do you want to create something, Beth? Yeah? Just listen to what the Holy Spirit says to you. Maybe already something in the worship, something that you've heard from that song. It's just captured you and said, yeah, there's something that I want to think about. Because they're quite deep, some of those things. We're going to take meditation and thought and reflection. Need to chew on them. So how do we describe this love of God? Where do we go? What are the words we used? Well, I kind of went to the best place to go, and that is to the Bible. And to words that are so, so, so familiar, but so, so right for this moment. We have that screen up. I'm sure along the way, we've encountered this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's got everything we need to unpack and understand this love of God. It's all there. The extravagant, the deep, wide, high, long love of God. It is all there. It tells us of the source of this love, where it comes from. For God, yeah? For God so loved the world. This is the source of love. It's where it all begins. There's this lovely bit in the New Testament that says this. It says it's 1 John, God is love. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. We're going to celebrate that a little bit later. This is real love. Not that we loved him. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. God is love. It's a defining part of who his character. When he acts in love. Yeah? Anyone get grumpy here? Anyone get grumpy? Anyone get angry? Sometimes when we're grumpy and angry, things that we do come out of our grumpiness, don't they? They affect our actions. God is love. Everything he does comes out of that love. Everything flows out of who he is. He is love. It's a constant part of who he is, and it always shapes what he does. So that's the source. God is the source. But what about the extent of this love? Well, it says the world. The word in the original language of the New Testament is cosmos. Everything. Everything. All of creation. He's loving, and he's loving towards it. So God so loved the world. So that's the extent. But then it says something about the nature of this love. It says he gave. So we've got the source, the extent, the nature. God gave. He gave. That he gave, it says, his one and only son. People had turned their backs on God, chosen to ignore him, to go their own way. And what had happened is this had caused a distance between humanity and God. Yet God gave his son. He gave of himself, because that's part of who he is, part of his love. That relationship that he needed, he wanted with his people, he needed and wanted them to be back in it. So he doesn't give up. He keeps going and he gives. And that's just at the very heart of the nature of this love that we're talking about today. God had to do something. He could not simply leave things as they were. So he sacrificially gave, and gave so very, very generously. That is the nature of love. It's generous. It's giving. So we've got the source and we've got the extent and we've got the nature in this one little verse, just a few words. But what did he give? Or who did he give? He gave his one and only son. This shows us the depths of his love. He gave that which was most precious to him for that which was most precious to him. Does that make sense? He gave what was most precious for what was most precious. He gave his son for you. He gave his son for you. What was most precious for what was most precious? I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. Jamie bought a new car last year. Or he bought a car last year. And some of you might have seen him whizzing around in his little purple bubble. Before we bought this car, we went to look at lots of different cars. And I was amazed at how much money people are trying to charge for some right old jalopies. We would go to these garages and there would be this one car that Jamie's like, "Whoa, I really love it, Dad." And it was terrible. There was rust all over the place. The tyres were bald. The gearbox didn't work. I said, "Yeah, we want £1,000 for that." And Jamie's in his pocket. He's like, "I want this car, you know." So, and he's about to give £1,000. And I'm saying, "Jay, it's rubbish." But he was willing to pay £1,000. I was thinking about this. I said, you know, it's like something is worth. It's only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. Something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. Think about that. Think about that as we gather around this table together. Think about what God was willing to give for you. If something's worth only what someone's willing to pay for it, what does that mean about this meal? And what does it mean about you? It says, you are worth what this represents and symbolizes. You're worth God sending his one and only son. That is the depth of his love for us. So that's the depths of his love. But then we have the extent and who this love is meant for. That whosoever. That whosoever. Can I just say something that seems so obvious to say in this moment? But let me say it. That's you and that's me. We are not outside of the whosoever of God. We are included in his love. And whatever you may feel about him, whatever you may believe about him, whatever you may think about him, he did this for you. That is the extent, the depth of his love for you. The whosoever extends beyond this little group and it goes out across the planet. It's every single person on this earth is not outside of the whosoever of God. This love of God is indiscriminate. It includes you and me and all peoples. You know, people are having discussions about whether we should sing about the reckless love of God. YouTube clips, an hour long. But think about it. Doesn't that feel reckless? Doesn't it? The whosoever of God includes all of the people in this world. Feels reckless, doesn't it? Because we know some of those people are not going to embrace and accept that love. shown to us in Christ. But do you know, right now isn't about the rest of the planet. Right now is about you and it's about me. Okay? So there's that indiscriminate nature of this love. But then it tells us how we experience it. That whosoever believes in me. This love requires a response. This love requires a response. Because it's too big, isn't it? It's too big to brush over. If we believe there's something in this meal, if we believe this means and represents something, then it's too big just to brush over and say, whatever, isn't it? He who, or she who, believe in me. That's what God is asking of us to believe. You know, when we come to this table a little bit later, I don't expect you or need you to have all the answers. I just believe that God says, have you got enough belief and acceptance in this, that it means something, that it changes something, that it's done something? Then I think there's an invitation to this table, because this table always kind of takes us on from that place to another place, doesn't it? A deeper understanding, a deeper believing, embracing, accepting. So what I'm trying to say is you don't have to have all the answers. Jesus says, just believe in me. Believe that actually this bread represents the body of Christ. This wine is blood shed, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This is an invitation into relationship with him. So there's how we respond and receive this love. But then there's the impact of this love, that you shall not perish. This is a love that saves, and this is a love that shelters. This is a love that saves, and it's a love that shelters. It saves. On Thursday this week, we're going to be having a service of thanksgiving for John. Some of you know John, some of you don't. John was a lovely Christian man who died a couple of weeks ago. We're going to celebrate the salvation that he has known in his life and knows in his life as he goes on into the next phase or stage. It goes on into eternity. We can celebrate that because he believed. He shall not perish. This is a love that, as we accept, saves and it shelters. It's not just about what happens when we die. This is a love that impacts and changes and transforms us now. Eternity, eternal life, begins now. That quality of life begins now. It's to be enjoyed, accepted, embraced now. So there's something there about the impact of this. But then it goes on. I've run ahead of myself here, because it goes on. This love doesn't have a shelf life. There's no sell-by date on this love. Looking at the food bank box as I came through the door, check the dates just before they go. None of that with this love. None of it. It begins now, and it goes on for eternity. That's good news, isn't it? I'm very happy about that. I don't have to face the mystery of death with anything other than certainty about my eternal standing before God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says it all, doesn't it?